for observing the Lord's Supper this evening. Appreciate that. And remembering what Jesus Christ has accomplished is part of the purpose of the Lord's Supper, of course, and that's what that song was about. Take your Bibles and go to the passage that we teach from when we observe the Lord's Supper together, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. We'll go there for a few moments tonight before we go to the Gospel of Matthew passage here in a little bit as we do the administration of the Lord's Supper this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'll read a couple extra verses. I think I'll read all the regular verses. We'll see how that works out. 1 Corinthians 11, look at verse number, I'll start in verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 11. The Bible says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul writing to the church at Corinth, of course. Now look at verse 2. "Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." Now, Paul, remember, is different than what we're used to today. There was such a thing as apostles at one time, and that has passed away. That was pertinent for a while, and we have verses that speak to what God did, but apostles were a one-time appointed position, and as those apostles passed away, their positions went with them. In fact, they retained their apostleship, the 12 Jewish apostles, and I kid around sometimes about whether or not we can name them or not, but that's not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Remember, Mark and Luke aren't in that, but Matthew and John, and there's 10 others, okay, minus Judas plus Matthias. And don't look at me so funny, okay? And I'm talking about the 12 Jewish disciples, all right? We've talked about them our whole Christianity. And they retained their apostleship, and their apostleship continues and will continue as Christ founds his kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years to rule and reign. They will rule and reign with him in their positions that he's given them. And that kingdom there shall be no end, the scripture says. And it goes forward into eternity yet to come. Paul's the apostle to the Gentiles. Remember that. And so he went and he preached the gospel, the grace of God, in different places like Corinth. And at Corinth, these folks heard him preach. They got saved. A local church was established. Other churches, of course, were established out of those churches, but that's the original what happened there. And he says, "Remember me in all things," in verse 2. That means when I was there, when you got saved, what we preached, all those things. And then he says, "And remember," and "keep," rather, "remember me in all things, what I taught to you. About what I taught you, what we discussed, what we learned, what we grew in together." And then the second thing he says in verse 2 is, "Keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." Now, that's an interesting word. In the Old Testament, they had lots of ordinances. You understand that? They had lots of prescribed and instructed duties that they were to observe in the Old Testament nation of Israel with their temple and with their priests and all those positions that God ordained and appointed. And they were appointed by God, by the way. There was a high priest, a man that would represent the nation of Israel before God. And we talk about that, and it's a lot of what we would call somewhat tedious reading to go through some of those things and the Levitical law and things like that. Yet it's very, very important, especially at the time it was instituted, and very important to us now as we have it in the Word of God. But an ordinance, and he says ordinances here, so that means more than one. Okay, the definition of the word ordinance, and I, of course, you know, I like to define things by the King James Bible, how a word is used, and we don't have time for me to go and look at each usage of the word in Scripture, and there's not all that many in the King James Bible, but basically the definition of the word ordinance is a rule established by authority. The authority in this sense was the apostleship of the Apostle Paul, appointed by the Lord Jesus Christ. From heaven, after he rose from the dead and ascended up to the throne of heaven, he appointed the Apostle Paul. So this is a rule established by authority. It's an established right. That means something you participate in, something official. And then you go on in the definition, it uses the word ceremony. So what we have basically is a ordinance here mentioned in verse number 2, or ordinances mentioned in verse number 2, and they are an established thing that is to be observed, and it's a ceremony, okay? Now, there's lots of religions today that do lots and lots and lots of ceremonies, okay? And religions full of ceremonies. They just ceremony here and then. I know the modern churches, the emerging church and all the new stuff, they're not as much into ceremony. It's different kinds of ceremonies, I guess you could say. You can still call it a ceremony, I guess. But there's lots of Orthodox religions that do lots of ceremonies. Well, there's only two ceremonies that a New Testament church is required by the Scripture to participate in and observe. Okay? And that's what we're talking about. You know, in the Old Testament, ordinances were used as primary rules and regulations, but in the New Testament, ordinances can refer to a ceremony. There's only two ceremonies mentioned in Scripture, I just said. They're connected with the New Testament church, and that's the Lord's Supper and water baptism by immersion. Those are the two ceremonies we participate in as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And here's the thing. Those two ceremonies aren't just there to do mindlessly, ritualistically. Most religions have you doing things mindlessly and ritualistically. There's probably some of you that might have been raised in some formal religions. You could probably still repeat some of the prayers and the rites and the sayings and the things that you probably said when you were young. You're probably still ingrained into your mindset or mind, brain, whatever. What do you want to say? It's still somewhere in that front lobe, somewhere, that portion. It's still there today. I mean, it was just ingrained there. It was almost like seared into. Well, that's what religion does. But see, these two ordinances actually have a purpose behind them. All right, these two ordinances that are delivered by Paul, of course, he says down in verse number 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also, or which also I delivered unto you." So Paul got him. He's just the delivery boy, okay? He's just the messenger boy, and now he had an official title and everything. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. But he got them from the Lord Jesus, and he gave them wherever he went, preaching the gospel. When a church was established, he says, okay, this is what the Lord Jesus wants you to do. Okay? And we have it in Scripture recorded for us today what the Lord Jesus wants us to do. Our two ordinances, the Lord's Supper and water baptism by immersion, they're there for a purpose. They illustrate something. You know what they illustrate? The gospel of our salvation. So, you know what? God gave ordinances, ceremonies to be participated in and to be observed so we'd never lose the truth of what the real gospel is. You understand there's lots of churches today that they have church just like we have church, but yet nothing about the real gospel according to the Scripture is part of what they do. They don't preach it, they don't teach it, they don't believe it, they don't receive it, they don't accept it, they don't share it, they don't reach out with it, they haven't even reached in with it. So God, in His knowledge, in His omniscience, knowing us as just humans in our weakness of flesh, He gave us even two ordinances that capture and help us remember the purpose and the truth behind the message that we've received from Him. Water baptism by immersion. You know what it is? You know why it's immersion instead of sprinkling? It's because you have the picture of burial. Burial. You know what? The Lord Jesus Christ, His death and burial is very important when it comes to the gospel that has been preached to us and that we've received and that we preach and wherein we stand today. His death and His burial, okay? Now, let me start over, okay? I talked about water baptism before I got to before Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper commemorates His death, okay? That's this due in remembrance of me. We're remembering His death. Then water baptism represents His burial, and then what happens? His resurrection, okay? Now, when you bury somebody, you don't stand them up. Yeah, I'm not trying to be silly, okay? I'm not trying to be, disrespectful. You're waiting for a big word, weren't you? That's all I had, okay? Irreverent, I'm not trying to be irreverent. I'm not trying to be that, but when someone passes away, you don't stand them up somewhere and throw dirt on them. You don't do that, okay? You don't sprinkle dirt on them, okay? There's no burial there. When, according to what we understand, you take that body which came from the ground and you plant it back in the ground in expectancy of it coming back forth out of the ground. That's what we've been taught. That's what the Scripture teaches us, okay? So the Lord's Supper, we commemorate, we remember His death. His death. Water baptism by immersion, His burial, His resurrection. We have two ordinances that we are instructed by the Scripture to observe, to participate in, to remember, and there's only two. Now, maybe some other churches want to do some other ceremonies. Maybe they want to do foot washing and feet washing, and maybe they want to do, I can't think of any other ceremonies right now, but maybe they want to do them too.
You know, and if they as a local church want to get together and do that, that's fine. But there's two that the scripture has taught us to do, okay? And as far as what we are supposed to do, what we're being obedient to the Lord doing, there's two, okay? And one of them is what we're observing tonight. It's the Lord's Supper, okay? And I could talk so much more about that, but let me hurry on to say this. The Lord's Supper is a celebration. I always say this when we're observing the Lord's Supper. It's a celebration of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how, like Brother Ogden was singing, we can remember back and the sun can shine again. Every time you think about what Jesus has done for you, what he's accomplished for you, the sun's shining. It's always shining. It's shining on your heart. It's shining on your life. It's shining on your soul. It's shining on your eternity because what Jesus has done for us. What a blessing that is. So the Lord's Supper is for New Testament believers in Christ Jesus. That's what it is. It's not the Passover, okay? If we had time, we don't have time. But if we had time, we could go to the Gospel according to Luke. I'll give you the reference in case anybody wants to take time later, okay, or another day. Luke 22, 14 through 20, it proves in that passage, as that's another gospel account of Christ, what we call instituting the Lord's Supper or giving it there. It was after they'd already observed the Passover together, something different. Something for the nation of Israel in Old Testament times. After they observed that together, then Jesus instituted a remembrance of his death. Okay? So this is not the Passover Americanized. Okay? This isn't the Passover Christianized. This is something that God has given us. It's called the Lord's Supper. All right? And it's not the Jewish Passover. Two times the Lord's Supper is stated to be in remembrance of Christ and his sacrificial work. Let's look at it, verse number 24. I'm having to hurry a little bit, of course, because we have you all sitting together close, so it's easier for us to serve you tonight. And with the deacons that we have and that are able to serve you tonight, by the way, you sing a lot better when you're sitting close. Did you ever notice that?
Amen.
Okay, I just want you to remember that. But since I'm hurrying, can I go back just a little bit before I go forward? Okay. Excuse me for that. I like my sermons like I like my eggs scrambled. Okay. 1 Corinthians 11:19. When I told you that one of the reasons God gave us these two ordinances was to help us keep the truth in remembrance, the gospel which we've received. It's not a gospel of works. It's not a gospel of wait and see and hope so. It's a gospel of what Christ has accomplished with his death, his burial, his resurrection, okay? So remember verse 19, for there must be also heresies among you. So there's heresies amongst believers, okay? And God allows that to even accomplish something good, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. The way to be approved is by preaching and teaching what God has given us in his book. Okay, that's the difference. No man's better than any other man, and that's in the earthly sense. But one man that teaches the book is so much better than a man that teaches his own mind on things. Okay? And you have to keep that in mind. And so we stay approved when we teach what the Bible teaches. And when we understand what these ordinances are, and we're observing them together and remembering them together, it keeps us approved. It makes sure that heresies won't come in among us. It'll keep the heresies out and the truth in, okay? Anyway, let me go back to verse number 24, I think I told you. 1 Corinthians 11:24. And when he, speaking of Christ, when he was here on earth, had given thanks, he brake it and said, take heed, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. Remember, this is a commemoration of his death. The Lord's Supper sets forth Christ's death. There's his body broken for us in verse 24. Look at verse 25. After the same manner also, he took the cup. It's the Lord Jesus again taking the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. So we have his death being commemorated, his broken body and his shed blood commemorated in these two verses, verse 24 and verse 25. We're here tonight to remember what God has done for us. We're here tonight to observe and to be reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work that was accomplished for me and you. Christ didn't have to save himself. He didn't have to save any angels, okay? That the angels weren't hanging in the balance. He came for mankind, okay? He came to accomplish what the first Adam did not accomplish, where the first Adam failed. He came to redeem us back to our Maker, to our Creator God. And He is our Creator God, by the way. And that's what the Lord's Supper sets forth. It sets forth Christ's death, His broken body, verse 24, His shed blood, verse 25. Let me quickly say, there's always a caution when you're observing something so special and so precious as this. The church at Corinth is being written to by the Apostle Paul because they were abusing this sacred thing of observing the Lord's table. They were abusing it, okay? Their abuse was they made a human show out of things, a show of sinful flesh, prideful flesh, rather than looking to what Christ accomplished for them. It was a time to try and make themselves look good and make somebody else look bad. They were making a bid. They were really just, getting rid of all the stops and just trying to show off is what they're trying to do. There's abuse there. Okay, so something this precious is not about us. It's about us thanking God that He would save someone as sinful as me and you and accomplish what He accomplished for me and you and save someone like me and you and give us the opportunity to be with Him and be reconciled and right with Him forever and ever and ever and ever, all because of what Jesus did for us, all because of His work. So you got to always take time and think and caution and don't make light of it. Don't be flippant about this. If you're living in a way that in your life that's not thankful for Christ and His salvation and His forgiveness of sins, and you're a mockery to the things of Christ and to the cause of Christ and to the name of Christ, I wouldn't just flippantly observe this and receive this tonight. I wouldn't be an open contradiction and do this. That wouldn't be the right thing to do. That's not the right heart. If you want to humble and break your spirit and your will tonight and thank God and pour your heart out to God for what He's accomplished and dedicate yourself to God to do better going forward, that would be a good opportunity to do this tonight as we observe what Christ has done for us. I mean, there's so much we should do for Him because He did everything for us. And that's what we're commemorating and observing tonight. You know, we observe what my dad, there's such a thing as open communion, there's such a thing as closed communion, okay? Open would mean open to other believers in Christ Jesus, okay? Open to saved people. If you're saved, you're professing that you're saved, then it's open to you to participate tonight. If some people participate in just what they call, or some churches practice closed communion, they only close to their own local membership, okay? Because of our ministry and the way it's been through the years with all the members and friends that we have, and sometimes seasonal members and sometimes college students that, you know, are here part of the, we've always kind of observed something different. My dad calls it careful communion. So we're careful to warn people what this is all about. We're careful to teach the Word of God on it. Careful to warn you not to abuse the Lord's Supper. Careful to say if you're not saved, don't observe it tonight. We're always careful to do that. But it is open to anybody that wants to participate tonight as a member and friend of Landmark Baptist Church as we observe this wonderful, wonderful blessing together of understanding Christ's finished work on the cross of Calvary. I hope you know Him tonight. And it's always been right and it's always been good to know the Lord Jesus. But man, with the way things are today, it's what a blessing it is to know God, to know the Lord Jesus, to have His Spirit living inside of you, to be bone of His bone and be flesh of His flesh and belong to Him. What a blessing it is to have that tonight. We're gonna reconvene now, ask the deacons to come up if they're not already on their way up, and my dad, we'll take a microphone down for him, and we'll turn to the passage in the Gospel according to Matthew, and we'll observe that together at this time. I'll go ahead and tell you what the reference is if you want to turn to it. It's Matthew chapter 26. Starting around there, around verse number 26.